All right, guys, Derek here with Drunk on Comics with our partner in crime, Jim, the intern or sidecar Jim or whatever your name is today.
Yeah, I didn't come up with anything, so it'll just be Jim
for today. Yeah. And we have a very special guest via the interwebs and all the fun stuff, Mr. Cena Grace. How you doing, buddy?
I'm good. I'm about to, after this drive to a signing, so.
Oh, really?
It's been a very comic book day. I'm going to Golden Apple tonight.
Nice.
Yeah. This week, Burn the Orphanage came out, so.
It did, which is exactly why I wanted to talk to you.
It's kind of like, it's not like having a baby so much as it's like you're pregnant and now you can finally tell people about it, or you get the sonogram pictures, or the baby's finally let out of the hospital, because like taking the book to the printer is having the baby. Like, that's the stressful part. This is the like fun celebratory, like, don't touch me, but like, you know, give me money, give me presents portion of having a baby. I don't, this is the baby shower, I guess.
Nice. So now Burn the Orphanage, came out this Wednesday. And, I think when this podcast goes up, it will probably be 1 week from the day that the book came out.
Okay.
And, came from Image Comics, and this is a 3-part series, correct?
Yeah. The secret, the truth is that they were supposed to be one-shots, and every retailer we spoke to kind of said, you can't convince people to buy one-shots. And I was like, well, what about the amazing screw-on head? And they were like, that is an anomaly. That is also a very famous person selling a one-shot. So Burn the Orphanage is the first part of a trilogy where each story is completely self-contained, but it follows Rock. They all pay homage to video games, but, you know, when people read Burn the Orphanage and they see that it ends, you know, that the conflict is resolved, that's supposed to happen because the second part goes in a completely different direction, but taking, you know, the characters that survived with it.
All right. So now the last time we talked to you was at Detroit Fan Fair, not quite a year ago. And you just finished, I think the week prior to that is when your graphic novel, I guess you would call it, came out.
I don't know what we're talking about, so.
Well, yeah, sure. Not my bag.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Now, that was semi-autobiographical. How much of you is in this book?
You know, it's the difference between Not My Bag and Burn the Orphanage is that Not My Bag took events and dialogue and conversations and you know, stuff that's very much like out of a diary, and Burn the Orphanage more took like emotions and feelings. There's a lot of stuff in there that like, there's just tons of little inside jokes. Like even this female character is beating up on a dude and she calls him a little baby dick, and little baby dick is a big inside joke with, you know, some friends of mine. Even just sort of the mannerisms or the dialogue, like Lex is always saying tight, and that's, you know, something I say. So it's more of like my personality rather than my history.
That makes perfect sense, because I mean, the nice thing is, you know, we got to hang out with you a fair amount, and as I'm reading Rock's character, I'm like going, okay, I see a little bit of Cena here, and then I'm seeing a little bit of Cena there, a little bit, you know, and it wasn't you per se.
He seems like such a fucking hard ass dude, and I'm drinking white wine, so I don't know where Rock and I stand.
No, where within Cena did the stripper ninjas come out of?
our listeners can't see you, by the way, but that facial expression said everything.
the visuals aren't going to be a part of the podcast.
No, this just makes it easier for us to talk.
Oh, okay. Then I changed outfits. I thought we were going to... That's why I hung up on you. So that I don't have to make eye contact. That's stupid. I'll just stare at your faces looking like this. All right, cool. What was the question again? We got into
laughing. Stripper ninjas.
Stripper ninjas. So the problem with this book is that a lot of it came from sort of conversations with my co-writer, Daniel Friedman, and some things I really can't remember anymore because you don't, sometimes with memories, you don't know what the important ones are going to be. And I can't tell you the exact moment we came up with Burn the Orphanage. I can tell you sort of the weeks around its inception, but the stripper ninjas, am I going to take credit for them? I think I am. I think they were my idea. And it was just sort of kind of like, well, what couldn't happen in video games? I guess like the ninjas couldn't be, you know, topless, and it like flopping titties just seemed so funny to me. Flopping titties was just like, you know, a very wonderful afternoon at the coffee shop. So yeah, I'll take the credit, but you know, maybe I'll email you later and find out from Daniel that it was all his idea and I'm just a fucking like loser who steals his ideas. I don't know. Yeah. All the beginnings were sort of just sort of blurred and out of conversations and stuff. We didn't start out thinking, let's create this video game blockbuster beat 'em up awesome comic. It was just conversations that turned into me drawing the book.
now Rock is definitely like 100% video game character from, you know, look to attitude. Is he, would you say he's more Street Fighter or more Double Dragon?
He is more my memory of Streets of Rage.
Ooh. Oh, wow.
I remember drawing Rock, and I remember kind of like coming up with him and sketching him, and then Daniel looking at it and being like, more bracers, more armor. he's got to be bigger, more muscles, you know, stuff like that. And I think what was going on was like I was riffing off of my memories and Daniel was riffing off of the actual games themselves. And, you know, he was on Tumblr and he was looking at these things. Which is so funny because, like, then I look up Streets of Rage stuff and I'm like, oh my God, like, wow, this is like really close to home, which is why at 18 he gets a jean jacket. Because, like, at a certain point, I was just like, oh, this looks like Streets of Rage. I gotta, like, give it a little bit of variation, hence jean jacket.
Nice. So, now talk a little bit about co-writing because that's gotta be difficult.
It's not, it's different with different people. You know, Daniel is known for co-writing Undying Love with Tom Coker, mm-hmm. who's an artist. And what's funny about their process is they script everything before you draw it. And I don't know if we talked about this last time, but with Not My Bag, that is not how I work. I kind of like thumbnail a page, write like the important dialogue that tracks with, you know, the whole narrative that, you know, the stuff that needs to be remembered, mm-hmm. and then I sort of build around it and script it all at the end. And when Daniel and I were working together, you know, we were basically tossing it back and forth. And I believe I was flying to Emerald City Comic Con or something. I was flying somewhere. I was on a plane, and the first five pages kind of came to me, and I drew them out, and I called him the minute I landed and told him about it. And he was like, oh, I got chills. I got chills just hearing that. So then what I did there is, you know, I would kind of go and lay out a batch of pages. We would sit and talk about them. He would fix some things, bring up some visual cues, yada, yada. And then I would go back and I would draw the pages and then script them. And then he would come in and do a, you know, do a gloss, do sort of his version of the script. And if there's ever anything that we disagreed about, you know, we duke it out, then give it to the letterer. but, you know, it's funny because I like to give him a lot of credit because in many ways, that book wouldn't have some of my personality because I would have curbed it. Like, Rock's girlfriend at the end of the book looks a little bit like this horse-faced actress that, if anyone knows me, they know I'm obsessed with Sarah Jessica. My idea, that was Daniel was like, oh, put in Hocus Pocus era Sarah Jessica Parker in all the stuff.
Sorry, we're laughing because we're flipping through the book and seeing her going, yep.
Yeah, so, you know, and there's little stuff like that where I may not have gone the extreme, or I may not have pushed it all the way. Even when readers, you know, finish the book, they'll be like, oh, Bear's gay. Like, that wasn't my idea either. Like, I was just going to make him straight and, you know, just have that be that. And Daniel's like, no. Like, his name is Bear. He's going to be gay Bear. So he definitely, like...
But he has a bear heart.
You know, he is so literal in every sense of the term. So yeah, that was the process, kind of just, we would riff off each other, I would go and sort of produce content, and then he would kind of rein it in and make it better than I ever thought it could be. Nice. I even the double page spread that I just got swipe filed on Bleeding Cool at the end, where a certain character dies, you know, for you guys know who I'm talking about.
Yeah.
I scrapped an original version of that. boring, and Daniel helped me kind of find this awesome Street Fighter image that, you know, I ripped off of whatever.
that was unexpected and made me laugh out loud when I saw it. Like, I'm like, that's fantastic.
Okay, good. Cool. Yeah. It's definitely like, it's a really easy to find image that I played off of, and I was hoping that people understand it's a tip of the hat to Guile, but we'll see. We'll see people who read Bleeding Cool treat me.
Well, screw that. You just got to go to drunkoncomics.com and see how we treat you.
I know how you guys treat me really well and belligerently.
Yeah. Oh, speaking of belligerent, last time we hung out, we did consume a few adult beverages. I need to find out.
A few is like an understatement. I think we like drank, you know, maybe like the amount of like, you know, an elephant's piss of a whole day, like just many, many.
Well, that's how we started the night. Sure. but the question I have is, do you still have the ringtone of the Power Rangers for your text messages?
Don't, because it was the most annoying thing in the world. Waiting in the morning, and it just would wake me up. I loved it. I loved it, and I still have it saved on my phone. But you know, I just can't. I can't handle Zordon.
So there's no Zordon anymore. What's the current ringtone? Anything fun?
It's again, just to sort of be a complete nerd, I stole Daniel's ringtone. It's just a little like quick like beep beep beep, and then I stole it from him. He's like, dude, that's mine, and I'm like, he's not happy about it, but yeah. it's nice. And when, you know, when I'm awake and aware, it's a good noise. And when I'm asleep, I miss it. So let me see if I can ask me another question. I'll try and find. The ringtone for all you iPhone users out there.
Well, I could text you and make it go off in the middle of it.
Yeah, text me.
All right. Text me. We'll do this right now. This is like, you know, fancy like on air shit. So now while I'm doing this, you're still drawing Little Depressed Boy, right?
Yeah, we went on a little bit of a hiatus because people who read the book know that it was not coming out on time, and. You know, we've taken the time to really, you know, we being Struble, is using the time to really plan and map out every single story beat and just make it. Did you guys hear that?
Yeah.
Sounds a little bit like the Power Rangers. It's like a moment of the Power Rangers beep.
It's like you're getting like the little news feed through the beep 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 beep. Like, so what was that?
Oh, it's like a telegram or something.
Yeah.
But at any rate, so we were talking about the Little Depressed Boy. So yeah, you know, the script pages that are coming in are awesome, and it's really great, you know, that I've taken the time to sort of push myself as an artist. I think even the couple of months that readers have to wait for a new issue, it's like maybe the best thing for the book ever. And
what issue are you guys on now?
We finished 16 earlier this year and then prepped and put out volume 4.
Okay.
So the decision we're figuring out now is, do we come back with 17 or do we just do volume 2, issue 1? And I think with a book like that, you know, it doesn't help itself to be, you know, a 50 issue ongoing, whatever. I think it does serve itself in some way to have a new number one every so often. So, we will know more soon, I swear.
Cool. Now, let's jump back to Not My Bag, because I fell in love with that book. And and so I know that we talked that there might be a volume 2 of Not My Bag.
Right. There still is. And I'm about like 10 pages in, but it was one of those things where I was pushing really hard to try and make a new book exist out of thin air.
Mm-hmm.
And it just didn't feel right. And it wasn't very good. And it was so like overwrought. And then, I talked to some people who are professional writers and I asked, you know, what do you do when you kind of have to do a follow-up and you didn't really have one in mind when you started? And the advice I got was trust the process. And a friend of mine was like, look, if your first book was a mess that you kind of did a couple pages here and there and you know, put it all together towards the end and it was really chaotic, that is how you have to make it. And then another friend was like, you might need to live a little bit more life before you can kind of go back into that world. I'm forgiving myself that I don't have another book out. I thought I was going to have one out by October, and it's not happening yet. But
quality over quantity, though.
Yeah, and I think with a book like that, it's not like, you know, it's kind of like Optic Nerve or 8-Ball. Like, people understand that stuff isn't meant to be serialized and meant to be kind of on a very rigid and strict schedule. So. My readers have come off as very understanding.
So now, what do you have a preference? Would you rather write or would you rather draw, or do you want to do both equally?
I think I like drawing more, but I'm a control freak. So if someone else is going to write me, who are you looking at, Derek? You just made a face.
No, I was looking at Jim.
Yeah.
See, we can communicate behind the scenes. We're like ninjas.
Texting? Anyway.
well, not stripper ninjas, because nobody wants to see us naked, but that's, you know.
Both be surprised. You would both be surprised. Tumblr, there's an audience for everyone. At any rate, no. Yeah, I think I like drawing and writing, and then maybe having like a collaborator with me on the writing front. If you guys are familiar, but I did a kid's book with Amber Benson. She was a chick on Buffy, and an amazing writer. And we did a kid's book where she wrote it and I drew it, but it was a really fun collaborative process, and we're working on a graphic novel that'll come out God knows when. But I dig what I'm doing with Daniel, where it's like, you know, you brainstorm together, you have a lot of fun, and then, you know, someone else does a lot of the grunt work and then and kind of executive produces it and looks at it and says, you know, well, not that, and more of that. And I guess I just like doing the grunt work.
Yeah, that makes sense.
All right. So I've noticed from like Little Depressed Boy through Not My Bag and then on to Burn the Orphanage, it's always your art, but I noticed there's little nuances that you kind of change your, a little bit of, whether it's like rendering or just the like construction, and even like your stuff that you post on Instagram and Tumblr, where like you kind of screw around with how much realism you want to show in each of your drawings. Is that something just premeditated, or does it just come with what you're working on?
Yeah, it's project by project, and you know, that was part of the reason why Burn the Orphanage jumped higher on the to-do list, was A, it felt very natural to do, but B, I learned this year that a lot of editors don't know what I can do. They see a little depressed boy and they think, oh, he can draw pretty girls and this weird guy. And he can, you know, they look at Not My Bag and they go, okay, he can draw, you know, his version of comic book poetry. But no one, you know, no one ever knew that I grew up reading Fathom and Battle Chasers and I was a Todd McFarlane, Jim Lee fan in, you know, the 90s. So I had to, you know, you have to create the space to prove that you can do these things. Like, you know, people were just rejecting me for jobs sight unseen because they were like, well, your portfolio doesn't show that you can do it. And I'm like, I will do things on spec. Just like, give me a chance. And that wasn't happening. So I basically just, you know, put my money where my mouth was and invested the time to work on a project that proved, hey, like, you know, this is me doing a fight scene. If it's good enough for you, like, let's do something. So that's where that came from. And same with sort of the Adventure Time and regular show stuff. Like, I really love kind of trying to create more, you know, illustratory or illustrative cover images and hadn't been given the chance until my Boom editors were kind enough to keep throwing work my way. So yeah, it all comes from wanting to show the world what I can do, but then also catering to what the material asks for.
Nice. Yeah, I mean, I'll admit, I was very happily surprised. I mean, I've seen so many of your of commissions and other things, like Jim was saying, that you post on Tumblr and Instagram and Twitter and all the other fun places. But I'm like, boy, I wasn't quite sure how it was going to pan out. And I opened the book and I went, that's Cena and this is awesome. I mean, it was great, you know, because it's like, I've seen it, but I hadn't seen a complete piece from you in one issue.
I mean, you know, thank you. Yeah. I was super excited and I think that's what's going to be great about the next two parts of this trilogy is that I'm comfortable with fight scenes. I'm comfortable with sort of this kind of character design now, which, you know, it's all sort of, it plays into different parts of my brain that when I first was doing Burn the Orphanage, I was like, what the heck am I doing? Like, and people would talk about like crafting a fight scene and I'd be like, what? No, I just drew him punching a dude and throwing the dude around. And so that, yeah, I'm really excited for November when Demons comes out. Cause that's going to be tight.
Now I got to ask, from the video game standpoint, is there going to be a major boss battle at the end of issue 2 or 3? If you can give it away, that is.
Without spoil, I don't know. I don't even want. Okay.
Yeah. You could say maybe.
No, in the sense of like, we're not, our goal isn't to kind, you know, someone said that we weren't like a Quentin Tarantino movie because we didn't turn the genre up on itself. And no, like, I don't want to reinvent the wheel with this book, but if you're looking at it as a continuing storyline, I can't just, you know, keep having it be like he does levels, fights, yada yada. We will find a way. We do have a very creative way around that structure. And that's really all I can say.
That's good enough.
Yeah. Yeah. There'll still be some pretty cool fights and it's going to be pretty dope, but we are not going to be lazy about it.
Yeah. No, I'm excited. Jim actually just got to read it tonight because he had to wait for me to bring it up to him, his copy of the book. But yeah, he came out giggling a little bit after he finished reading it.
Yeah. Sweet. Thank you. Yeah. I mean, I hope those were good giggles and not.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you know, he came out walking going, oh my God. And then he quoted like four things out of the dialogue.
So. Yeah. As deadly as they are sexy is one of the greatest things I've heard in a comic book this year. So
the Daniel Friedman line. So you can for that.
So, now our listeners can find you on Twitter. Yep. Is it @CenaGrace?
Yeah, I'm fairly, the name is the same everywhere. It's my name is Sina Grace, SinaGrace, and you know, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, it's, you know, .com, all of that. I've managed to keep it all.
Nice. And where can they see you in person? I know you just finished up with San Diego here a couple weeks ago.
Well, if they live in LA, I just finished signing because it's Wednesday now, where you get, when this hits the air. I'm going to be in Arizona on the 14th of August, and then I'm going to be in, oh, right, then August 17th, I'll be in San Francisco, and then 22nd through 25th or whatever, I'll be doing Fan Expo Toronto.
Nice.
I'll be doing the C4 convention, like Central Coast Comic Con, and then I'll be out in New York for the New York show, and maybe I can convince those fanfare guys to bring me back. But
there, you know, there are a couple different shows that we'll talk to you about, Michigan, that maybe you might want to come out to. But we'll talk that, you know, off air.
So. Yeah, I mean, I'll go where Stegman goes. That's my rule.
Well, there you go. That's pretty much every Michigan show, which is great. You can come back and visit, and we will drink more elephant piss.
I just meant the amount of. Was equivalent to, you know, an elephant peeing, because they pee a lot. I assume they might not pee a lot. They might be like camels and hold that shit in. I don't even know what I'm talking about. You know, let's just talk about video games. I'll sound smart.
All right. So let's see, Jim. Is there anything else that we need to make sure our listeners know before we wrap it up here with Sina?
Make sure you go and check out Little Depressed Boy, Not My Bag, and definitely Burn the Orphanage.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I got to say, at least. Yeah.
Well, Sina, on behalf of all of us here at DarkCon Comics, thank you once again. It's always a pleasure seeing you, always a pleasure talking to you, and we cannot wait to see what comes out of Burn the Orphanage and any other future projects you might have.
Yeah, I miss you guys too, and I'll see you soon, hopefully, and thanks for having me, and everyone buy more Image Comics, because there's nothing like them right now.
No, God, they're taking the world by storm.
Really glad I'm a part of it.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks, guys. This is going to wrap it up for us. And yeah, go to your local bookstore and make sure you order that shit from Sina. All right. We'll see you later, guys.
All right.